episode of Locked On Suns, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Today's always your host, Evan Satter, and I'm joined once more by Brandon. As you guys know, I'm on Twitter at AZ Sports Zone, and we are instant reaction live from the final day of the 2020 regular season. And unfortunately, even though the Suns did win today, 128-102 over the Dallas Mavericks to go an incredible 8-0 in the bubble, Brandon. The Portland Trailblazers and Damian Lillard broke their heart in the very end there as they beat the Brooklyn Nets 134-133 to hold off the Suns from making that play-in game. And the Grizzlies beat the shorthanded Milwaukee Bucks today as the rest of their stars, and they blew out wins. So even though the Suns did go 8-0 in the bubble, a magical run, Brandon. Of course, the Suns are on the outside again, looking ahead now to next week's draft lottery instead of the playoffs.
Yeah, man. It's good to be back on here with you, Evan. Obviously, this is there's a lot of emotions going on right now, just minutes after this Blazers game. So there's a lot to be proud of, a lot to talk about. So looking forward to getting into this.
Yeah, let's go right into the Portland game, because I think the entire city of Phoenix, you didn't live in Phoenix or in the Phoenix area, and you're a Suns fan around the world, you were watching this game with heated anticipation. And incredibly enough, former Sun Tyler Johnson, Caris LeVert, they had themselves a game and they kept it close. And you thought all the way up until the end there that the Nets were going to pull off the unthinkable and upset the Portland Trailblazers and have the Suns sneak in as the 9th seed and play on Saturday morning against the Memphis Grizzlies in a playing game. But Damian Lillard and Dame time, they came through at the end there. Lillard hits a near half-court shot to switch momentum once again at about 4 minutes left in the game. And Caris LeVert missed a buzzer beater at the end there with a step-back jumper over CJ McCollum. What was your reaction watching that game? Because even though, as a media member, I didn't really have a rooting interest in that one, that was as close as you can get to a March Madness type of feel in that game.
Yeah, it really was. Just, you know, hats off to Brooklyn, first off. They really fought. You know, this game was ultimately, like, meaningless to them. So for them to, like, put that much effort out there, like, especially, you know, Tyler Johnson, former Sun, you know, Book was probably in contact with them, like he was saying on the interview on TNT. So, you know, they're fighting, and you got to respect it. And, you know, Dame, he's a killer, and he was going to do everything it took to win that game, and he did it. And it stings, obviously, for it to end in that fashion. But if you're telling me, like, entering the bubble, if you told me that Caris LeVert has a chance to make a game-winning shot, and if he hits it, the Suns are in the playoffs. If he misses it, they're done. I'm pretty sure every single Suns fan in the world is going to take that deal. So, you know, it's definitely heartbreaking, but there's a lot of positives to take out of it as well.
Heading into today's matchups, Brandon, it was, of course, a really eventful day for the Suns. They were watching scoreboards throughout the day as the Grizzlies were playing at the exact same time as them. And the Bucks kept it close for a little bit before they started to pull away at the end. The Bucks, I think, pulled their starters, mostly Giannis, of course, suspended for this game due to headbutting Mo Wagner last night against the Wizards. I think it's unfortunate for them. I don't know about you, but I felt more confident, even though the Nets did prove me wrong tonight. I was more confident in the Bucks without Giannis being the Grizzlies team heading into today's game. I thought the Nets maybe didn't have a chance because Lillard was so hot. Of course, Dame put another 40-plus point game there. But heading into today's game, Brandon, did you feel you were leaning more towards the Bucks or the Nets to really help pull this off for the Suns?
So, to be honest, I thought Memphis and Portland are both going to win. But if I had to choose between one of the two, I would say I'd probably lean Bucks just because, you know, especially before the Giannis thing, you know, you're thinking even if they don't play him a ton of minutes, he'll probably be on a minutes restriction. They'll still have Middleton, you know, Bledsoe, the Lopez brothers, and DiVincenzo. So they still have a competitive team out there. But at the end of the day, they just didn't have much to play for. Giannis, unfortunately, headbutts Wagner, and, you know, that just kind of carried over into a game that really just didn't mean much to them. In Memphis, they're still a young team, and, you know, they're going to fight. So I kind of figured they're going to pull that one out. But just looking at what the Nets have done in the bubble before this Blazers game, they really, you know, it's a team full of hungry guys. They're not concerned with, you know, what's going on, like, in the future. They're just worried about – it's a bunch of guys that are just trying to make it into the league. You know, they're getting second chances and stuff like that. And that's why we've seen Campaign and Jabon Carter play so well. It's because they know that, you know, next season's on the line for them. So the Nets just have a roster full of that pretty much, outside of LeVert and Harris. So I think that's part of the reason they battled so hard in that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. That was such a heartbreaking finish for the Suns, as the Nets, like I mentioned at the top of the show, lost that game 133-134 to the Blazers as Dame pulled it out in the end for them, and they'll play the Grizzlies instead on Saturday morning against them in a play-in matchup. The Blazers are the 8th seed, Grizzlies are the 9th seed, and of course for the Suns now they are the 10th seed on the outside looking in for this play-in tournament. But before we dive into our final game recap of the season, I just want to get your general thoughts, Bran, on the bubble experience for the Suns team. Monty Williams mentioned to us over Zoom today post-game that this is one of the more fun moments for him throughout his coaching career, was having this sort of magical run with the Suns team going 8-0, having less than a 1% chance coming in to make it in this position. And they were oh so close to being in that position, Brandon, where they could have been that playing game. What was your overall thoughts of this run where the Suns, of course, had some help by some teams, rest some starters, but this Suns team was just on fire on both ends. The bench came alive. You saw Devin Booker pull up an MVP type performance throughout these last few weeks. Players like Campaign, Dario Saric stepping up, Mikhail Bridges stepping up too. Just an all-around great game, and the Suns most nights were playing perfect basketball.
Yeah. I don't want to be a complete like prisoner of the moment, but this is definitely – I mean, I'll give a shout-out to the 2013-2014 Suns. They were a lot of fun. But since their Western Conference Finals run in 2010, there just hasn't been anything comparable to this. Like, this is just the highlight of the past decade for Suns basketball. And, you know, it's obviously everyone wanted to make the play-in game. And, you know, going 8-0 and not making it it just sounds like the most Suns thing in the world. But, you know, they're still setting themselves up for, you know, a potentially nice offseason with a 14% chance of moving up into the top four in the lottery. You got a lot of cap space. You have the renovations to the arena. There's just so much positivity moving forward. And, you know, these games are like playoff games with them anyways. So they got valuable experience. And, you know, going into the next season, they're going to have this momentum. And, you know, we know Book's going to – he's going to be locked in. Like, you know, he sees his team going 8-0 and not making it. He's not going to sit there and sulk. He's the type of guy that's going to, you know, take that and just say, next year we shouldn't even put ourselves in that position. So, you know, there's just overall, I've just been really impressed. And, you know, I don't like moral victories. Like, I actually hate them, but I'll make an exception to this. This is like something to be excited about, and you should not feel any guilt for that at all.
I definitely agree with you there, Brent. I think this could be a springboard opportunity for the Suns team heading into 2020-2021. Monty Williams mentioned that post-game, as did Devin Booker, as did DeAndre Ayton too. This whole team, I think, is completely bought in now after this like playoff-type experience, where if they can do this over a two-week span and be 8-0 and improve the record from 26-39 to 34-39 in such a short time period and be able to be on the doorstep of the playoffs at this point in their rebuild, I think next year is very bright future for the Suns team and a very important offseason, of course, kind of for them. But let's dive into our final recap of the season, Bran, and I enjoy having you on for this one because it was a fun one. Really, throughout this game, even with Luka Doncic playing the first half, the Suns controlled this one throughout. I mean, we'll talk about our stats to watch at the end of the show, but once more, the offense was on fire in this one, scoring 128 points, ended up winning 128-102 over the Dallas Mavericks. Just an all-around great performance. I think, honestly, Bran, might be the best game of the bubble for them. Suns fans, the best-tasting protein bar ever is back. That is Built Bar. With the improved Built Bar, it's even more delicious. They have 6 new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry Barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. And they also have the 12 original flavors of coconut almond, raspberry, German chocolate, peanut butter, banana bread, mint brownie, salted caramel, double chocolate, orange, toffee almond, coconut, and peanut butter brownie. So many good options, and they're covered in 100% chocolate too, and they're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is great for the health conscious guy out there. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber, and great for a keto-based diet. For example, a coconut almond Built Bar is 18 grams of protein, 180 calories, and only 5 grams of sugar and 5 grams of net carbs. So that will help tide you over throughout the day as you enjoy your Built Bar. They also have a great promo you'll want to get in while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order of Built Bars. Again, that is promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order of Built Bars. Use promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com, BuiltBar.com. Suns fans, Rock Auto is a place for you to save your money on your next car purchase. Whether they can do everything for you, even save you over $150 on a fuel pump assembly, unlike the big chain store competitors out there. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's your classic or daily driver, you get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and price you prefer. And best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same professionals as do-it-yourselfers. So why spend twice as much for the same parts and get it even cheaper at rockauto? Go to rockauto.com right now and see the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in the How to Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Again, write Locked On, L-O-C-K-E-D-O-N, in the How to Hear About Us box so that we know Locked On Sun sent you over there. Rock Auto has a main selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts car will ever need. Go to rockauto.com right now.
Yeah, I don't have the numbers in front of me, like as far as like every box score from every game, but off the top of my head, I think this is the only game they won every single quarter. I could be wrong, so don't quote me on that, but it also felt that way. You know, like there wasn't – every game there's always been a moment where you're just kind of unsure if, you know, they're gonna pull it off. And this game, there's really a little bit of a slow start there in the beginning, but they really pulled away towards the end of the first, you know, had 11-point lead heading into the second and just really didn't let the foot off the pedal. And heading into halftime, you know, Luka – you know, obviously was done after that. So they just put him out early, just didn't give him a chance. So really encouraging way to cap it off. And, you know, they knew they controlled their own destiny just by winning and just not worrying about anything else.
Yeah, I totally am with you on that one. When you see the way the Suns are playing, of course, they had the momentum on their side. They, of course, had the playoffs in position. They didn't know at that point they'd be out of it. And they were, of course, scoreboard watching throughout this one, with the Grizzlies game going at the same time. And they look like they're playing for their playoff lives there. And, of course, the Mavericks had the seventh seed already locked up. They sat Luka Doncic in the second half there. But what did you think overall of the way that Monty had to prepare for this game? I know I've been raving praise on Monty Williams throughout the year, and I've been raving praise on him, especially throughout the last few games. But in this one, it looked like you really had the message of, if you win, you're in. And this offense from the get-go, from Devin Booker on, they were just on fire, and the shots were so efficient. I mean, they finished with an incredible 34-4 assist turnover ratio in this one. 34-5 assist turnover ratio, and that just goes to show you how the ball was moving and how efficient they were on offense.
Yeah, Monty's been just honestly amazing. Like every game, they've showed up and been ready to go. Obviously, they've had some slow starts, but coaching is not just about how you start. Like he's making the adjustments throughout the game, so he's just been, you know, just the ideal leader. You know, just X's and O's have been great, and he's backing it up with, you know, his leadership as well, which we all knew was going to be a strong suit for him. But, you know, I just think at the end of the day, like there's been so many games in this bubble where it's been, you know, coming in this game, this could be a trap game. Like this could be a game that they finally slip up, and it just didn't happen. And that speaks volumes to him and the players as well. They're just locked in collectively, and it's just really nice to see.
Yeah, I really think that this roster, even Monty mentioned it, he loves this team post-game, and he wants to see a lot of this group back next year. And if they can carry this momentum over from what we saw in these eight games, I think they're in for a very fun 2020. But let's go to our positive from this one. We're always going to have the positives in this one. No negatives, because the Suns, of course, were 8-0. They finished off their Orlando run in really dominant fashion. And let's hit on Devin Booker in this one, Brandon, because he had 27 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, plus 30 in the plus-minus category. It was 11-20 from the field again, and including 0-5 from three. So just how dominant he was from inside the three-point line, having those kind of numbers. What did you think of Booker in this one, where right from the get-go he was on fire?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like on a nightly basis now. He just does things that I'll just sit there and just kind of laugh, because it's just so normal for us. But it's just – he makes it look easy, and it's not. Like the ability to score in the paint, in the mid-range, the way he does – like that's not normal at all. Like it reminds me a little bit of like Chris Paul, like just the way he, like he's able to snake in the lane and just pull up over like bigger defenders. It doesn't matter who, like how close you are, who you are, he's going to make a shot. And, you know, it's just been really fun to watch. Just he's just an offensive machine at this point, and just so consistent too. Like that's, I think this bubble, just the consistency and just him showing up, not forcing anything, has just been, it's been really fun to watch.
Yeah. Booker in the bubble was incredible. He averaged 30 points per game on a elite efficiency clip. And looking ahead to next year for a second, Brandon, and maybe this is sort of a sneak peek of what's to come for Booker next year. I mean, this could be, I think, with the way they utilized Booker in Orlando and the way that he was playing all throughout these eight games, he could be a player that's near 30-plus points per game next year.
Yeah, I see no reason for him not to be. I mean, I think right now I shouldn't call it a weakness because he's still above average on it percentage-wise, but just the three-point shooting, it's a little bit of a combination of his shot selection and just, you know, just finding his rhythm. But if he can get his three-point percentage up to closer to around 40 and just continue to get to the line a lot, I think 30 is definitely a realistic goal for him. But I don't think he's going to care about that as much as he will about winning. We still need to see what they do with the rest of their roster. You know, there's a lot of question marks going forward with like how they're going to build around him. And so I'm looking forward to see like what they do this offseason.
Yeah, it's going to be so interesting to see what they put around Booker moving forward here because they have the pieces, I think, in place now, a lot of them. And we're going to hit on the next one in our positives here with Dario Saric, who, again, off the bench, Brandon, had a monster game. In 26 minutes, he had 16.6 rebounds and 2 assists, 2 of 3 from 3. I think he finished in Orlando plus 50% from the 3-point line. So he was on fire from deep throughout this 2-week stretch for the Suns. I'm all aboard. I mean, we hit on this before when we've had you on before, Brandon, but I think the Suns need to pay up for Dario Saric. I mean, obviously, if it gets too much money, I would not be opposed to going after him. I think maybe $7 to $8 million would be my limit for Dario as a reserve big. But as a 4 or 5 combo, I mean, he fits so well off this bench, and he really helps stabilize the unit.
Yeah, so if you would have asked me before the bubble who I prefer between Baines and Saric, I would have it would have been a resounding Baines, but – I think at this point you have to go Saric just because of the versatility. Like you said, he can play the 4 and the 5 and just kind of helps not limit your roster building. So especially like in free agency, if, you know, they're trying to fill out like the back end of the bench, you know, there's so many like cheap like centers that you can add. So I think his play in a way has made Baines more expendable than I would have thought coming in. And that might just be recency bias. He might just be playing for a contract. But, you know, if they can get him to buy into being a 6-man where, you know, there's going to be nights where they're going to need him to step up, then I think, you know, there's a lot of potential there. And it's I've been really just impressed with the way he's been playing. He's just so patient when he catches it down low, just backing players down, you know, not forcing anything, just keeping the ball moving. So I've really enjoyed watching him play.
Do you think just looking ahead to next year, I'm with you on the Baines versus Dario question. I think it's fair to say if you want Dario to play around 25 minutes per game, I think Aaron Baines might be an outside looking in for this roster because with the way Dario can play 4 and the 5, I think honestly, Brandon, he's a better 5, right? I think long term, I think Dario's found a home as a backup 5.
Yeah, and like, so I want to enter the year with him as like, the hopes of him being your only like backup center. Obviously you should probably get another like insurance blanket there at like as your backup 5, but that is where he's been most effective. So I think, you know, if you're going to go that route, just letting Baines walk, then, you know, sign someone that like an upgrade over Diallo, but not someone that you're going to rely on too much. You know, there's a lot of targets. I'm not going to get into the specifics right now, but there's a lot of players that would make sense in that type of role. So, you know, I think if Saric can, you can alternate him 4 or 5. And if you're letting Kaminsky go as well, then that's another type of role he can fill in where Kaminsky is kind of like the pseudo backup 5 right now as well. So, you know, I think just the versatility to where he can play as a 5 and we've seen him be effective there, but also you can slide him down to the 4 is pretty valuable.
Yeah, and we saw today in the box score, Frank Kaminsky was actually a DNP CD for the first time, I think, all season as far as being a healthy scratch. And we saw throughout Orlando that his minutes continued to dwindle down over the last few games, played 7 total minutes in the final 2 games. Had a good game in the last one against OKC when the reserves came in, sort of helped out a little bit. But I think a really bad stretch for Frank Kaminsky has put him on the outside looking in for this roster next year. I think that's something to be wise to decline that team option and use that $5 million somewhere else, maybe to pay Dario Saric his will earn money off this second unit for the Suns roster. But let's tell another positive from this game, Brandon. And another one for me is Mikal Bridges, who back-to-back games now, he's put up really great performances here. 14 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, chipped in a block, 6-10 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3, and 14 points total, and a plus 26 in the plus-minus category. Just a monster on both sides of the court today from Mikal. What was your impressions of Bridges the last few games, especially today against Dallas, where it seemed like the button was sort of kind of flipping back over as far as him being aggressive again these last few games.
Yeah, he's been awesome. He's playing with a lot more confidence too. I think it was the end of the OKC game where he hit a few shots in the fourth quarter, and that confidence just kind of carried over to, you know, the Philly game and then this game as well. So just, you know, with him, it's always been, offensively at least, it's always just been about confidence. When he's playing confident out there, he's just a really effective player. And the scrimmages, I think, really helped boost him there. You know, he had a few quiet games, like in the early stages of the bubble, but he's really stepped up, and just his defense has just been so consistent. And, you know, Luka was just, you could tell he was just annoyed to be on the court with him. Like, yeah, I think like just at halftime, Carlisle just probably asked him if he wanted to go back out. He's like, no, I don't want anything to do with Mikal Bridges. So just the way he bothers players and is just been really fun to watch. And, you know, next season, if he can get it right around what he did tonight on a nightly basis, you know, 14-4-3 with elite defense, then, you know, that's, to me, that's a top 50 player in the NBA.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And I think next year, I think I've done this before when you've had you on, Brandon, but continuing to have monster games like this on defense, I might not show him the box score with gaudy numbers, but his defense and matchups one-on-one against superstars is so notable. I think this Orlando stretch might carry over to next year as far as national notoriety goes for Mikal Bridges. I would not be shocked at all if he's on all NBA defense list starting next year.
Yeah, I definitely think he's going to be in that conversation for sure. It's just going to come down, you know, if the Suns are a playoff team, then I think he'll be right in the thick of things. Like, we've seen a lot of like national writers kind of pick up on, you know, how good his defense actually is because the Suns are playing in meaningful games and they're actually watching them play. I think since day one, since he's been in this league, he's been a good defender, and he's just slowly gotten better over the course of these last 2 years. And, you know, the biggest thing with him now is just going to be adding strength so he can guard like the bigger wings that can sometimes bully him a little bit. And, you know, most of the time it doesn't really matter just because of how long his arms are. He can recover in certain like instances, but yeah, I think there's a good chance he's going to, you know, if not next season, you know, the season after, he'll definitely be all defense.
For those wondering too, Mikal's final stats from three this year, 36%, a lot better than it was his rookie year. And looking ahead, Mikal might be a player who's near 40% next year. I think he closed on a very hot run through March through this restart. And I think moving forward here, Mikal is locked in as your small forward of the future for the Phoenix Suns. So let's move on to another positive from this game, Cam Johnson, who I think continues to surprise folks not only in Phoenix but in the NBA. 15 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and a block. 7-11 in the field and plus 12 overall in the plus-minus category, Brandon, in 30 minutes. Cam, I think I've tweeted this throughout the game today. I find it very hard if I'm Monty Williams, if I'm James Jones, to take Cam Johnson out of the starting lineup next year.
Yeah, he's been just so awesome. If there was like an all-bubble rookie team, he'd be on it for sure. And, you know, maybe you'd have a chance at MVP. You know, John Morant might have something to say about that. But, you know, he's been really awesome. Not just the shooting, like he's actually struggled a little bit the last couple games from three, but just everything else he's doing, just keeping the ball moving, you know, playing like active defense, you know, making, I think his cutting, him and Mikal Bridges are like two of the best like young cutters, which it doesn't sound, it's not like something people keep track of, but like they're just so good at cutting. And, you know, having someone like Ricky Rubio on this roster that rewards them is awesome. And I think that's something that you're going to see a lot more of next year because their chemistry, like that's the main thing, is like this, like the bubble in Orlando for all the teams that are invited, like even if you're not going to make the play-in game, just developing that chemistry with the young guys. And you know, Ricky Rubio is going to be locked in as their starting point guard next year, and just having that, you know, development with Cam and Mikal is just going to go a long way and towards their success next season.
Throughout the bubble in 8 games, Cam Johnson averaged 13.3 points while shooting 50% from the field, chip in 6 rebounds, 2 assists as well, and not even barely registered many turnovers too, which goes to show you just how efficient Cam Johnson is as an offensive player. And I'm really all aboard Mikal and Cam starting next year. We'll talk later on throughout the offseason how Kelly Oubre fits into this picture now. But Cam, I'm all aboard the Cam train. I think he's in for a really strong 2020-2021. But let's move on to a next positive in this one. Cameron Payne. 15 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, plus 20 in the plus-minus category in 29 minutes. 5-8 from the field, 3-5 from three. I think it's a very easy decision for James Jones, Brandon, to accept that veteran minimum team option next for a campaign, right?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, when they first signed him, I was pretty confused, to be honest, and he's proven me wrong, and I'm glad. He's been awesome, and, you know, he's really put the work in, because you look at, like, what he was doing in the G League before all this, you know, there's definite improvement just in his shot, and you could tell he's been working on his craft. So I think it's a pretty easy call. Him and Javon Carter, I'd like to see them bring both of them back. I'm not sure it's the best decision to, like, have them as your only two, like, main two guards off the bench. I still think they should add one more. But just keeping that competition alive in the training camp and just, you know, seeing, like, is this going to be sustainable over the course of an 82 season? Like, you know, go ahead and prove it. Like, here's your chance. So him and Carter, I think, have earned that right to come back next season and should definitely be in the mix as one of their, you know, like, top three guards off the bench.
Yeah, speaking of the Payne-Carter duo, what was your impression of those guys throughout the bubble? Because Campaign averaged 11 points in the bubble. He shot over 50% from three. At Chipton, three assists and a steal as well. Javon Carter was, of course, above 50% from three as well. He was 3-5 today at 9 points, chipping a steal and a block as well. I love that Payne-Carter duo, and who knows if they'll be actually your main guards of the bench next year, Brandon. But in case of emergency, if you see Rick Rubio get injured next year, if they see maybe one of the other guards bring a board in the offseason and get hurt, I love both those guys as sort of like 10th, 11th guy on this roster. I think both of them make so much sense here. And the chemistry those two have already is pretty immense.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think they're 8-0 without them. They've been the spark plug. You know, they're both shooting the ball. They're both, like, pressing, you know, picking up full court, just doing the little things because, you know, they're, I mean, Javon Carter's been like that since the day he was born, to be honest. But Campaign, you know, he knows, I think he's matured a lot because he was a lottery pick and, you know, got bounced out of the league. And, you know, he knows he's going to have to do little things like that to survive in this league. So just the combination of how hungry they were, I think, really just added some much needed life to this team, especially with Kelly Oubre out. There was just kind of a lack of energy, like, in terms of just, you know, everyone else on this team is pretty level headed. They're not going to get too loud or, you know, getting people's faces on defense, but Payne and Carter really, like, picked up the slack on that I think that they would have missed out with Oubre out of the picture.
Yeah, really incredible what Carter and Payne did throughout this bubble. And like you mentioned, the trio of Carter, Payne, Dario Saric, I think they might be 500 or less without those players being there on the Suns bench and really helping revive that bench unit, Brand. Before we go into our stats to watch here, just how impressed were you to see this kind of revival from the Suns bench throughout this bubble, where that was their big bugaboo throughout the year and really a horrible bench unit they had? And you see Carter come alive. You see Campaign brought aboard before the bubble starts. He does his thing, stabilizes the point guard position. And Dario, I think, finds a long-term home as a reserve big. I think the bench really helped save them a lot of the time.
Yeah. I mean, they, like you said, and I've said, they're probably, you know, 4-4 with, like, without those guys, like, playing the way they did. You know, it's, their bench has been an issue, like, all season long, pretty much. There's been a few exceptions, but overall, it just kind of proves a point that, you know, everyone is kind of focused on coming in, like, before the bubble, they're just focused on this offseason, you know, we need to upgrade the bench. And this kind of proves a point. If you have a competent bench, you know, Devin Booker's going to win you games. And that's why I don't think they can take their foot off the gas and get too caught up in, like, you know, the results they've had here. They still need to upgrade in certain areas and just keep getting better. But not also at the same time, it's tricky because you don't want to mess with the chemistry they built. So James Jones has a really tough job ahead of him, in, like, some of the decisions he's going to have to make. But I think it's a good thing because, you know, there's a talent influx mixed with cap space where they can add, you know, a couple, like, important players to their team. And, you know, they're going to have a lottery pick as well. So it's going to be interesting to watch.
Moving into our stats to watch, Brandon, from this game, you see the Suns shooting splits once again, 55, 41, 76 shooting splits. And by the way, for those wondering, the Suns, Phoenix Suns 2019-20 team is now the all-time best free throw shooting percentage team. And what a random stat that'll be down the line, Brandon, but just goes to show you, if you make your free throws, it'll pay off in the end. Throughout this bubble, the Suns definitely did that, and they were hot from three throughout. And looking at their stats throughout this bubble here too, they were 40% from three, 90% from the free throw line, almost 50% from the field, and the advanced metrics too as well, Brennan. They were 120.3 offensive rating, 107.4 defensive rating, and a crazy 12.9 net rating, which is the best in the NBA throughout the bubble. They were number two in offensive rating, number four in defensive rating. When you play like that, you're going to go undefeated, Brennan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just absurd. Like, the statistic of them, like, leading the NBA all-time in free throw percentage, that'll be, like, a like you said, just a trivia question, like, at a bar or something that no one's going to answer, like, 20 years from now. It's unprecedented, like, how – I don't think people understand how tough that is to break an all-time record like that, especially when it's, like, a team record. You know, it just goes to show that they have a lot of, you know, good shooters, and obviously it helps – having guys like Ayton and Baynes as your centers that, you know, they're not a liability there at the free throw line. So just little things like that, you know, leading the league in assists as well. It's, you know, it just speaks to like how great this offense was. It's just now about finding the right pieces to continue the growth of this bench and just the development of these young guys.
Unfortunately for the Suns, 8-0 did not pay off in a play-in opportunity to get into the playoffs, but a lot of positive takeaway from this one. And they closed out, I think, on an even huger note, because 128-102 final score of today's game against Dallas Mavericks. Bernie and I both agree, probably their best game of the bubble so far. But I know many – I tweeted this after the game about the NBA draft lottery, and a lot of Suns fans were heartbroken still about the Nets losing and keeping the Suns on the outside looking in for this playoff run. But crazy to say, Brandon, with this compact offseason due to COVID-19, the NBA draft lottery is in exactly a week from now. We're going to be talking this time next week about where the Suns finish in the draft lottery, and – hopefully with the lottery this time around, going 8-0 in the bubble, maybe the lottery gods will pay off the Suns this time, get them a top four pick, maybe number one overall. But what do you think of these Suns' chances in this lottery now? 13.9% chance of a top four pick, 3% chance of landing number one overall. They are slot number 10 overall in the lottery standings. Of course, the NBA, for those wondering, they're using the standings from the post – or excuse me, from the pre-NBA shutdown. So not anything from the bubble will be used in the lottery standings here. So – what's your expectations, Brandon, heading into next week where the Suns are riding some good momentum as far as that good sort of vibes is and maybe helping appease the lottery gods, so to say, because I think the Suns might be in a really advantageous position this time next week.
Yeah, there's all the good karma just thrown out there. And I think, you know, sometimes it just works out like that. We've seen teams finish the season hard and get rewarded in the lottery. I think Adam Silver, just, you know, as a shout out to the Suns going 8-0, should just automatically award them the number one pick, but it's not my call. You know, I'm really looking forward to it. You know, 14% chance to move up doesn't seem like a lot, but, you know, look at like what happened with the Pelicans and Grizzlies last year. And, you know, there's crazy things have happened. So I'm not going to like get my hopes up too high, but, you know, if it happens, it happens.
Before I let you go, Brandon, just as we tease toward this lottery, and now we're going to pivot into offseason talk here throughout this show. We'll close out this show on Friday and then maybe a little bit next week talking about this, wrapping up this incredible bubble run for the Suns. But who are some NBA draft names, maybe in that 10 range that Suns fans should get familiar with as we are now less than 2 months away from the draft and exactly a week away from the NBA draft lottery?
Okay, so I'll just do four players, just like quick hits. The two wings that, you know, I've grown fond of would be Devin Vassell. I'm not sure if he's going to be there at 10, but he's someone that I've made it pretty known on Twitter that, like, that's my guy in this draft. I think if you like Mikal Bridges, he's kind of that same archetype, not as long, but just the same type of player. You know, out of Florida State, just, you know, excellent team defender, can shoot the three, and I think would just kind of add into, like, what Cam and Mikal have brought to this team and just give them that added depth. And then Isaac Okoro out of Auburn, just like a bigger forward that his on-ball defense is excellent and would kind of allow Mikal Bridges on some nights to take the second best offensive weapon, which would allow him to kind of roam as like a free safety a little bit more. So that's one area I think Okoro makes sense as like their kind of their four off the bench. And then, you know, the jumper is a little shaky with him, but he's an excellent cutter. He keeps the ball moving, just high IQ. And if you can develop a shot, he could be something. So those are the two wings. And then I would say Kyra Lewis Jr. out of Alabama could be a nice spark plug off the bench, kind of, you know, make campaign and Javon Carter work for that backup spot if they're both still on the roster. And Tyrese Halliburton's another name as well from Iowa State. just sort of like a glue guy. He's not a true point guard just because he's not really going to create his own offense that all that often, but he can catch and shoot. Excellent passer. And yeah, so those are kind of the four guys I would say I tend to look at. There's obviously a lot more, like Tyrese Maxey and a few others that, you know, could fall there, but just some quick hits.
Yeah, I think those are players definitely to watch. We're going to get closer and closer to the draft in the next few months. We're going to have Brandon back on, I imagine, throughout that period. You guys can go follow him on Twitter if you have not already at AZ Sports Zone. He does great work over there. Brandon, appreciate the time, and thanks for coming on here with our instant reaction to an eventful day for the Phoenix Suns. They go 8-0 in the bubble.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, man.